in Egyptian captivity to make sure that Joseph was the second man in charge. I wish I had somebody in the house. So while we're worrying about Trump and while we're worrying about the Senate, we need to call for Mordecai. We need to call for Nehemiah. We need to pray God will send us somebody that's like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We need to pray that God will send somebody who's like King Darius or Cyrus. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I'm going to start praying instead of complaining, because I know the Lord can make a way for us through this. Somebody shout hallelujah. But then he tells us this. He said we need to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. But when I looked at that, I said, they're already praising him. But God said, I want a specific praise. I want you to tell me thank you. My mama always told me, if somebody do something for you that they ain't have to do, the least you can do is say. And so you need to learn how to give God thanksgiving. The Bible tells us with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You see, you got to understand something. Thanksgiving ain't always easy, because you got to thank him sometimes when things ain't going your way. Thanksgiving is not easy, because they can lie on you. But can you tell the Lord thank you? I wish I had some people in the house. They can talk about you, but can you still say thank you? You can be sick in your body, but can you wave your hand and say, Lord, I want to thank you. Somebody shout glory in the house. Shout hallelujah. Anybody want to thank the Lord? Well, you got a lot to thank him for. Why am I thanking him? Because in my distress, I called on the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Do I have anybody that say, I thank the Lord, because the Lord is my light and my salvation? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? I thank the Lord, because when my enemies...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
God bless you as we go to the word of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 26, and the A portion of that verse. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear from you. Speak to our hearts. Minister to us right where we are and lift us from this place to the place you would have us to be. Give us understanding and illumination about your word. And then give us the power to practice the principles that we shall learn from your word. That when we practice them, we shall profit from them and be ever so careful to give you all praise. Now we thank you in advance for what you've chosen to say to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. From the book of Acts, chapter 26, and the A portion of verse 2, it simply says, I think myself happy. You may be seated. I think myself happy. Say that with me if you're not mad this morning. I think myself happy. One more time. I think myself happy. Now give the Lord a hand of praise in this house. What an interesting, fascinating word we have before us today that Paul is speaking to the believers' faith and challenging us in trying times and gives us a helpful, holy hint as how to handle the issues of life in such a way that regardless of where we physically find ourselves in and at, we are able with the ability to use the faculties of our thought processes, lift ourselves up above and beyond whatever we're going through. Paul says, I think myself happy. Loaded is this expression, explosive and powerful is this phrase. I think myself happy. I mean, just right off the bat, what Paul says, it really doesn't matter what you think. I think myself happy. And may I say to you, my brothers and sisters, there will be experiences in this life when you're going to have to depend on you, nobody but you, and you can't always think that other folk will think the best for you. Sometimes you've got to all by yourself think yourself happy. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can't expect others to always lift you to a better place than where you are. For those of you who don't know the story, it would do you well to read chapters 25 and 26, and you'll discover Paul is being charged with many things according to the Jews, and he is preparing himself for the greatest trial of his life. And one of the interesting things about this is that Paul has a unique perspective concerning the issues and the trials that he is enduring and about to endure. And this is what I wanted to share with you. Not so much the whole historical account of the story. It'll do you well to read it so that you'll understand it and understand all that Paul went through. But here is the premise that I want you to gather and to gain today from this word. No matter what your greatest trials, your greatest tribulations, your greatest situations are, you've got to know that you have the ability to rise above them according to your faith. You've got to understand, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what you're going through or where your present position may be. You've got the ability to think yourself happy. Notice this is the same Paul that said, I found in whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. This is a man who understands the challenges of life and realized that every day down here is not going to be a day filled with joy and happiness because of the happenings of this world. But when he looks from the inside out, rather than from the outside in, that there is a difference in what he sees. You see, you can choose to see the glass half empty, or you can choose to see the glass half full. It depends on what you think. What are some of the things that cause your mental faculty to work in your favor? How do you get the ability to be able to reason, to consider? Because this word think in several translations is translated as consider. I consider. Some translations translate the word reckon. I reckon. So it would read for consider, I consider myself happy. But also, those who use the word consider also use one of the other words for happy. Happy is also translated as privileged, as fortunate, as blessed. So they would say, I consider myself fortunate, or I consider myself blessed, or I consider myself, as he goes on and says, again, these words, privileged. And so it's important to recognize that whether he says, I reckon myself privileged, blessed, or fortunate, what he's still saying is, it's the way I look at the situation and not necessarily the way the situation looks at me. You see, my brothers and sisters, what a powerful principle for us to learn, that you are not handicapped or in bondage to what somebody else thinks about you or your situation. What really matters is what you think about your situation. And so listen at this, because I want you to understand, all of these charges are brought up against Paul from the Jews. His life is at stake. If they had their way, Paul would have been dead already. But under Roman law, they didn't have the right to kill a citizen of Jewish descent. If that was going to be done, the Romans had to give them permission to do so. So they had to bring it to a Roman court. They had to also understand that they had to give themselves away or yield themselves to the Roman rule. So they are brought before Agrippa, the charges against Paul. And so Paul in chapter 25, has all of these charges against him. And in 26, in verse 1, Agrippa, the king, allows Paul to speak for himself. Now, listen at this. Paul considers it a privilege to be able to speak for himself. I think, my brothers and sisters, when you get the revelation of this, sometime a lawyer who's necessary in a courtroom can't tell it like you can tell it. And Paul didn't want anybody else to tell his story like he could tell his story. So his appeal was that he would be able to speak for himself. So King Agrippa says, you are permitted to speak. Now, notice Paul's action. See, you'd almost have to know the custom and times of presenters and great orators of that day. When a great presenter would begin his oration, he would lift up the hand to draw attention to the words that were getting ready to come out of his mouth. And folk looked at him because he took a stand of prominence and dignity and sophistication and intelligence. And Paul threw the hand up even though he had shackles on it. In essence, he was saying, don't let the shackles fool you. I've got something to say. And so Paul says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee. Listen at this. Touching all of the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. Now listen at him now. He stands not in weakness and timidity, but he stands in boldness and authority. And then he gives respect to King Agrippa, and he calls the fact that Agrippa had knowledge of the Jewish laws and principles, the cultures and questions, as well as the Roman laws. And if there was anybody worthy to judge him, it would be King Agrippa. So he sets everything in order and he begins his dialogue or monologue. And at that point, he goes through a litany of those charges that were made against him. Now, I don't want to get off into all of that because that's not really, again, my point this morning. My point was, look at the position he's in. What makes that special to us today is that all of the things that we go through, all of the difficult moments of our lives, every one of us will have trials, tribulations, situations. The Bible says, in this life, this world, ye shall have tribulations. Then he's already gone on and said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So in understanding this, this is a helpful holy hint for you when you go through your trial. Remember, Paul is preparing for the greatest trial of his life. And what I want you to understand is he's helping us to understand how you go through it. Are you interested in knowing how to be happy in the midst of a hellish situation? Paul, listen, is in the valley, but he's speaking like he's on the mountaintop. Paul is in the midst of a torrential downpour in a storm, but he's speaking like it's a sunshiny day. He's on the bottom, but he's speaking like he's on top. Will you let me help you this morning? I don't care what your issues are. You've got to learn, you've got the ability to think yourself happy. Not when you get out of it, but while you're still going through it. See, some of you sitting there with a long face right now trying to listen at what I'm trying to say because you're not getting this. You're still focusing on your sorrows and you're still focusing on your losses and you're still letting the devil beat you up. But I got news for you. You don't have to leave your situation the way it is. You can rise above it by beginning to think thoughts that lift you beyond your present place. Here's my first point. I want you to write it down if you can. Paul didn't focus, listen, on the faults. His trial did not focus on his faults. It focused on his faith. Now, I just said something now, because I want you to understand he's in the fight of his life, and it's not about his faults. It's about his faith. Well, see, what I'm trying to help somebody to understand is some of the greatest trials you're going to ever come against, or that's ever going to come against you, won't be because of your faults. It's going to be because of your faith. Listen, you say you a child of God. You say that God is with you. God is for you. You say you're a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a light in the dark world. The devil's going to make you prove it. And a lot of stuff the devil's going to bring against you, it won't be because of your faults. Yes, there will be some times you're going to have great trials because of your faults, because you did the wrong thing, made the wrong choice, went the wrong way, acted the wrong way, did all of these things that brought all that on you. But your greatest trials will not be because of your fault as a believer. It'll be because of your faith, who you are. And who you are to God. Job's greatest trial didn't come because he did anything wrong. The Bible said he was the most righteous man. He hated, eschew evil. He did everything right, and yet he lost everything he had but his life. Listen at me well. Because he was on trial for his faith. I've thrown out to you many times before, what you go through isn't always for you. Sometimes what you go through is for others to see you, so that God can show this world and show other believers that he's got some people who are faithful, who will go through it trusting him, leaning and depending on him, and he'll bring them out winners every time. So his focus was not on his faults. His focus was on his faith. That's what his trial was all about. Point number two, if you're going to think yourself happy in your worst situations, here's what you've got to understand. Don't focus on your offenses. Focus on your opportunities. Did you hear what I just said? You see, there are some believers who become offended when they've got to go through some things, and they wonder why they've had to go through them, and they wonder why this is happening to me, and they wonder why God permitted this to happen, and they wonder what have they done, and what was this, and what was that, and they become offended that they who walk right, talk right, live right, tithe right, pray right, give right, work on this board, work with that committee, volunteer their time, do that. All of this stuff is happening to them. They feel like they have been made ashamed because they're going through things which they have thought that only sinners go through. You do remember Job's friends thought that the reason he was going through that because he had some hidden sins, don't you? Yes. So listen at this. Paul didn't focus on his offenses, but he focused on his opportunity. I can't help you if you won't hear me today. Every offense that the enemy brings against you is not really about you, but about the God you serve. And the easiest way for him to try and get at God is to mess with you. Because God loves you so much. And you've got to realize that Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And so when you begin to understand that this thing that you're dealing with many times is because of the team you're on, you're on the winning team. The enemy is mad because you made the right choice to be a child of the king, to be a member of the royal family, to be the one that the Lord God uses in this earth realm to do his will. And so offenses will come. That's why you got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to know what you're messing with. You got to know what's around you. You got to recognize that every time you attempt to do good, Paul says, evil is always present. Don't think you got time to let your guards down. Because the moment you let your guards down, you will be hit without you even knowing it until you're hurt. And you wonder why. Because listen to what the devil does. He does not play fair. He'll use whomever he uses to get to you who's closest to you. He doesn't always use the people you think he's going to use. Oh, yeah, he'll use them, but he's got some closer to you that you never expect, that you never suspect. And those are the ones who'll take you out. Am I listening? Anybody listening to me? Am I talking to somebody who's listening? Listen at this. So you've got to learn how not to focus on your offenses, but on your opportunities. I called a very good friend of mine the other day named Frank, and I said, Frank, how are you doing, man? He said, Doc, but God. That's his saying, but God. I said, amen, brother, but God. And that's how he's very excited, very positive, very highly charged and everything. I said, man, what were you doing? He said, man, I've been around here helping people, rescuing people, saving people in boats and stuff all night and early in the morning. He said, Doc, he said, I would have called to check on you. He said, but I was helping somebody get in the boat, and I slipped and went under the water in a hole. He said, and my phone was in my pocket, and it got wet. And that thing wouldn't act right no more, so I had to order me a phone, and it just came in the other day. He said, and I had your number programmed in my phone with all my other numbers, so I didn't have any numbers because you know how we depend on the phones. And he said, so I had to wait till people call me to lock their number in my phone again. He said, Doc, he said, so I'm excited to hear, you know, how you made it. I said, wait, let's just talk about you right now. I said, I did good, bless the Lord. He said, but God, Doc, but God. He said, I said, well, man, how did you fare? He said, Doc, we lost everything. He said, all of the mementos, all of the precious things, all of the stuff that we, you know, we consider to be treasures in this life. He says the second time. He said, you know, I lost everything in Katrina and then moved to Baton Rouge. And here 11 years later, I've lost everything again. He said, but Doc, it's all good. He said, but God, Doc. I said, yeah. I said, but man, how? Tell me now, this is me. How do you feel? He said, Doc. He said, I see nothing but sunshine and opportunity. And to myself, I said, I wonder what he's on. Or has he cracked under the pressure? And the Spirit had to shake me right quick and bring me back into reality. That's the kind of response every believer, every victor ought to have. He said, Doc, it's an opportunity for me to come back bigger, stronger, better, that God will upgrade me and give me more than what I had.